Hebrews chapter 11. How many of you know that it can be tough at times to be a parent? How many of you know, or how many of you have concerned yourself with your children's well-being? How many of you protect your children at all costs? How many of you are nervous at times for your children? Now, listen, I wanted to know, it's interesting, as we've been traveling through this series, piggybacking on what a mature church is, moving into what faith, or faith, essentially, our faith profiles. This morning, we're going to be looking at a parent's faith and what difference that makes in your children, or what it's made in you as a child. We're all children of somebody, right? That's not a trick question. Just checking, making sure everybody's paying attention. So it's we have had some things sewn into us from a parent's perspective. We're going to begin reading in verse 20. I'm going to read through verse 22. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these men and the example of faith that they have set. And Father, we pray and ask you to speak to our hearts this morning as we dig into this. And I pray that we'll hear what we each need to hear from you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we begin in verse 20 with Isaac. Now, who is Isaac? We've talked about Abraham some, and we've talked about his child Ishmael. Isaac was the promised child, the promised one, through whom all of God's promises and provisions would come. But he had two sons, Isaac did, and that's Jacob and Esau. Many of us have heard the story of Jacob and Esau and about the stolen birthright and the blessings that went to them. And Esau was the man of the field. Jacob was the man of the house. But they had both received a blessing from their father Isaac. But I wanted to break away from this for just a moment. When we talk about a blessing, or a parent giving a blessing to a child, or a child receiving a blessing, it seems like that's pretty important in the Old Testament, doesn't it? You see that a lot, and we don't really see that much in today's society with what's going on with us. So we have to ask ourselves, what's the value of understanding the importance of a father giving a blessing to his child? Well, when you see blessing, the opposite of blessing is cursing, right? When we think about blessings today, we usually think about abundance of something. Whether it's abundance of house, abundance of cash, abundance of health. And that's what we think of when we think of the word blessing. But if we go back to the beginning of time, where God began time for us, back to the creation story, as he finished each day in the creation story, it says that it was good and God blessed it. And as you walk through that, you get to day six where he creates man. And one of the punishments of rebellion to God was that God cursed the ground. Y'all follow me so far? So if we understand in context from Genesis, which all of these stories took place in, we do have a note in Joshua, we'll get to that in a minute. They understood, or the understanding of the blessing of God, things being the way that God wants them to be, that is the blessing. So when we talk about the blessings of God, it really is talking about for us being in the center of God's will, the way God wants things to be. Because outside of that is cursing. And so when the parents gave a blessing to their child, it was to tell them or to pray or bestow upon them what they saw God doing in their life and what his plans could be for them. And so the passing of the idea of that you will follow God with the rest of your life, a parental blessing ensued. And so that's why it was sought after. And that's why it wasn't the same as the birthright. The birthright went to one child. But a blessing, you see, given to many children, and we're going to see that in just a moment. But a blessing also sees the child, in addition to God and what God is doing. Because God made us all different. None of you look the same. None of you think the same. None of you handle situations the same. Any of you have noticed that in your marriage at all, anybody? We're not the same. And together, we're better. And so, Isaac's blessing is found in the blessing that he gives here is found in Genesis 28, verses 1 through 9. And it reads this way, verse 1. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply, that you may become a company of peoples. May he also give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you. What was the blessing of Abraham? That God's promises, right? The things that God had done. So watch how this works. That you may possess the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take to himself a wife from there. And that when he blessed him, he charged him, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. So Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan displeased his father Isaac. And Esau went to Ishmael and married, besides the wives that he had, Mahalath and the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Naboth. And so we see that Isaac, as he blesses and instructs Jacob goes and obeys. And Jacob follows that. And so there's this, how is this faith? How is it faith to instruct your children? How does that work? How does that guidance work? It says by faith that Isaac did this. And then we see this list of things that it seems to be, you need to go do this and this and this and this. And what does that have to do with faith? Well, if we back up, we understand that where Isaac is coming from is he's operating in the promises that God had given to Abraham. And he's saying, son, there's a lineage that's coming that is out of me, essentially, that the promises will come and that we need to stay pure to that. And Jacob obeyed him. And so he's trusting God and what God had told him in making the decisions in his life to reflect what God had shown him. So often we go, oh yeah, that's what God said. Yeah, that's wonderful. But how often do we take what God has said and make decisions in our life based upon it? But that's what a parent's faith does, is they invest in their children. See, the children watch the parents, and they learn from you what's important and what's valued. And we see that here with Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob. The interesting thing about this is Isaac was able to see God's hand on his boy's life and how God was going to use them. You know, and he was, and really his blessing to him revealed his confidence in God to deliver on that. And you can't see what God's up to. It's hard. You ever feel this way? Sometimes it's hard enough to see what God's up to in your own life, let alone someone else's or your children. You ever wondered that? You know, what's church all? Why do I even do this? Why am I even walking? Sometimes it seems like it's so hard, so far away. But here it is, because he had learned to trust God with the things with him, that which he was responsible over, God gave him a vision for them. Because that's what he's sharing here with him. See, it takes real faith to trust God with your children, doesn't it? Yeah. Sometimes it's only God can reach them. You know, I think of, this is an old book now. I mean, I remember when it first came out. It's sad when I can remember when it first came out and now it's old. What does that say? But how many of you have ever heard of the book Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by Jim Cimbala? Wow. That book had me in the first two paragraphs. Jim Cimbala is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle in Brooklyn, New York. And it was never his intention to be a pastor. Well, long story short, he had a daughter that had a little bit of a rebelliousness. And he would always read the passages on pastors and their children, how their children honored the Lord. And his daughter went wayward. She walked away from church. And for years he prayed for her. And then he felt like maybe he shouldn't be in church, or leading a church even, because of what was going on with his daughter. And she finally hit rock bottom. And believe it or not, it affected him too. I mean, when your kids are going through a tough time, doesn't it affect you as a parent? And the beauty is, sometimes that's where God exists. Well, God exists everywhere. Let me not. But it's sometimes that's where we turn our eyes to him. And she bounced and came back home. And repented. And today, she's actually leading the choir there at Brooklyn Tabernacle. And so, it's in the hand of God. He had done everything right. He had made the right decisions. I don't want anybody to raise their hand. How many of you parents sometimes feel like it's your responsibility when your children do something wrong? Like, what have I done wrong? Here's the thing. Let me give you something to think about. Who was Adam and Eve's parents? God was. He made them, right? Did he do it perfectly? Did they make the wrong choices? Yep. So it wasn't the parenting skill, it wasn't the parenting style. It was the free will that God gives us, each one of us. He's given it to you, and we thank God for it sometimes. But he's also given it to your children. And with it, they can choose to serve him, or they can choose not to do that. Those are the facts. But it is not a reflection on you if they choose not to, unless you had a direct hand influence in that, in something you did. But even with that, they can still make the choice to serve him. So it still comes back to them. Even if you may have... How many of you have ever made mistakes with your children? Amen! Oh. Everybody's made mistakes. Everybody's done the wrong thing at times. That's a teaching opportunity. Not something to be covered up, but embrace it and learn from it and move forward. And so listen, it takes real faith to trust God with your children. But where that real faith grows from is your relationship with God. Not, oh my, this one is really important. I better trust God with it. Everything we do is important, and we need to trust God. And so we see Isaac, but then we move on to Jacob in verse 21. This is the son of Isaac and Rebekah mentioned above. And those of you who know the story, Isaac went to work, they had Jacob and Esau, and then Jacob goes, and here we find him blessing Joseph's son as he was dying. While he was dying, he's giving out this blessing. But he doesn't give it to his children. He gives it to his grandchildren. The blessing was so important in Jacob's life that these are essentially the final words he speaks to his grandchildren. To Joseph's children. And so when we read this, the picture here, when I first read this, this is so interesting. Watch how this works. When I first read this in Hebrews, it says that he's leaning on his staff and he's worshiping and he's blessing them right before he dies. And I got this picture in my mind of, you know, this guy who's, you know, at the end of his life, kind of leaning there and worshiping God and kind of in this position. But when we look back in Scripture to where it happened in Genesis, that's not what was going on. Genesis 49, verses 28 through 33. Says this. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them when he blessed them. He blessed them, every one of them, with a blessing appropriate to him. Then he charged them and said to them, I am about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field Ephron the Hittite. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought, along with the field from Ephron the Hittite, for a burial site. There they buried Abraham and his wife Sarah, and there they buried Isaac with his wife Rebekah. Yeah, Rebekah was Isaac's wife, not Jacob's. And there I buried Leah in the field and the cave that is in it, purchased from the sons of Heth. When Jacob finished charging his sons, he drew his feet into the bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. And so what's happening is that Jacob's not standing there resting on some staff. He's sitting in the bed and props himself up with this to give the blessing. Gives it out. Puts his feet in the bed, takes his last breath, and dies. It's a completely different picture, isn't it, when you go back and do the work. And so what we find with that is this. Each of his blessings were appropriate to each one. So he blessed them based upon how he knew them, what he knew of them. If you want to go back and read how it broke out, you can go back and read the passages before them. And how he describes his grandchildren and the blessings that he gave them. It's an interesting read. And so it brings us to the idea and the understanding that the way God created us is part of the plan that he has for us. There are things that light your passion, and there's things that make you run into the shadows. There's things we love, and there's things we don't love. Let's see. How many of you loved school when you were in school? Three of you. They all have the last name Parks. Oh, well, there's one back there. James threw off the curve. All right. There will be no bell curve today. How many of you were like, oh, I can't wait to get out of school? When you're in school. Stephen. Oh, I thought you had a question. Sorry, I was in the school mentality. But there's a difference in the room, right? Why is that? It's the same. It's the same place. How many of you had an amazing teacher growing up? How many of you enjoyed that class? So maybe what we believed was a dislike for school had to do with the teachers that connected with us. Because you all just said you enjoyed that class. That's how all of Ms. Shields' students feel. They just absolutely love her. That's part of the journey, is knowing exactly how God's created us. And His blessings about His plan. If I'm on His track for my life, then His blessings are going to follow that. That is the blessing. The blessing is discovering what that is. And that's why when these parents are giving out these blessings, it has to do with their faith that God is going to see them through and do these things. And so it was appropriate to each one. God's plan is unique for each of us. Listen, we're all different. Some of you are, well, a lot of you, all of you are great at something that I'm horrible at. And you're great at, I mean, even in your own home, the husband is better at some things and the wife is better at other things? Louise said, no, Judy's better at everything. Judy said amen too. And so His blessings are appropriate to each one of us. You know, when we think about, anybody here ever lost a loved one? Anybody ever been there for somebody's final words or final? You know, when we think about on this earth, you know, what did my final words be, or what will be my epitaph? This is what we have right here with Jacob. These are his final words. This was so important that these were his final words. And so Jacob dies blessing his grandchildren and worshiping God. He dies blessing his grandchildren and worshiping God. Man, if I've got to die somehow, that's how I want to go. There was a guy that, and I can't remember his name now. I think it was, anybody here ever heard of Doug Hullum? His father, his father was doing a concert. He was a singer and was doing a concert. At the end of the concert, he was exhausted. He went and sat down and died right there in the chair. He's worshiped God as his last thing, went and then passed on to be with him. Can you imagine right after you worship being in his presence? What a cool thing that would be. For me, God probably said, Mark, you got it wrong. I don't think so. God loves us so much. He said, thank you. Come into your rest. What a way to go. That's how we should think about our lives, is what are we doing? Can you imagine the last thing you receive from your grandfather, his dying breath is a blessing? What impact would that have had on you as a child to be able to have that? What spiritual legacy are you leaving for your children? Well, we see that here in this passage in verse 22, because we see Joseph. So Jacob, bypasses Joseph to the grandchildren. We see how it impacted Joseph. So now we see on Joseph's deathbed, interesting, right? This is so, and I'm going to jump ahead 1 week on you. We go from Jacob, as he was dying, to give a blessing. We go to Joseph, as he's dying, he says these things. Then we go to Moses, when he was born, by faith. By faith when he was born. There's a lineage of faith. It goes back. It's interesting. I've not seen that before as I was studying it. And so Joseph, on his deathbed, turns to his brothers and reassures them that God will fulfill his promises to them concerning the land. That seems like an insignificant comment unless you understand the story of Joseph. These are the brothers who betrayed him, who threw him in a pit, who sold him as a slave, who, as we were talking about this morning at prayer meeting, who became the best prisoner, who became the best servant. He ended up being second, and he saved all of Israel because he had put food away for the coming famine. And he took care of them. It was also a moment when Israel came into captivity. It began there. You're like, how does that jive? Because he had faith that God would continue with what he promised. And see, all these men and women in this passage saw beyond the circumstances in front of them. And they didn't give up. They listened to what God had to say. Joseph, in Genesis 50, verses 22 through 26. Now Joseph stayed in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw the third generation of Ephraim's sons, also the sons of Machir, the sons of Manasseh, were born on Joseph's knee. Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. So Joseph died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed in a place and placed in a coffin in Egypt. And then we find out in Joshua 24:32 that they obeyed, burying him at Shechem. And so having seen God's promises fulfilled throughout his life, he remained confident, faithful, that God would do everything he told him. You know, a lot of us would say, hey, God, where were you when they threw me in the pit? Where were you when they sold me into slavery? How come things aren't coming up all roses for me? I spent 7 years in jail. How come, God? Where is the blessings? And what he realized was is he was in them. We think of, you know what we really do? We think of blessings as self-centered, selfish things that make my life easy. Right? If we're honest. And I know that stinks, because it stinks when I think it too. But that's not what the blessings are. The blessings are being in the center of what God's plan is for me. Well, how come this God, or how come, and when something bad happens, we think, where are you, God? Joseph knew where God was in the pit with him. God went to jail with him. God was with him the whole way. Why do we think God abandons us when bad things happen? Or things that are unfair? Let me ask you this. Was God's hand with Jesus Christ at the cross? Without a doubt. Did he deserve to die? Was that unfair? Right? And we capture the concept as long as it's somebody else. Because When it's us, we have to feel the pain. Right? Well, how come this can't, how come this, you know, this happens to other people, not me. And here's Joseph. Here's the question. Do you share this level of confidence about God in your life? It's a tough one. It's just some tough stuff. I mean, faith is tough, guys. We know it. We think faith is going to church, and I'm a Christian, and I try to do the right things, and I'm good. I'm living in faith. Isn't that what we think? Sometimes faith is being in a place you're rejected. Sometimes standing and doing the right thing, it may cause you to lose your job. Sometimes it might cause you to lose a friend because you shared Christ with them. Now, let me say this. Don't lose them because you're ornery in how you do it. But if you do it with a heart of love and compassion and see them, and they run away from Him, that's different. But I want to lose my friend. I only have one. Okay? Jesus said that He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, so you have at least two. But it's time, folks, to either believe God in His Word or not. That's what faith is all about. So what is the impact of parental faith? Children learn faith by watching their parents. In this passage, we see a faith pattern repeated. Listen, parents, don't be afraid to share your journey with your children. Your doubts, your fears, your challenges, your victories. Let them see it. Because if you don't let them see it, when they face doubts of their faith, they'll think, well, I'm a failure. We're so afraid to let people see our shortcomings or insecurities. How many of you would line up to share all your insecurities and your shortcomings this morning? Do we have somebody who will start us off? I'm just checking. No volunteers? I'll volunteer. You know why? Because you already all know them. And maybe you've seen some that I don't know. Right? That's the way it works. So don't be afraid to share it with your children. It will help them understand what it means to truly walk in faith. When we look at these guys, they didn't have perfect faith all the time. They were challenged. They had doubts. They had moments of, whoa, wait, what's going on? Mary, who was used by God, when we was told that she was pregnant as a virgin, took all those things and pondered them in her heart. She didn't go, yes! She was like, what? Huh? And she came to faith. She didn't stay pondering. It's okay to ponder, but it's not okay to stay pondering. And so children learn by watching their parents. The faith that they demonstrated at the point of death developed over a lifetime. Well, I'm really not where I should be from a faith standpoint. I know that my faith is only greater. I've heard this a lot. You know, and I heard somebody say this once, and I almost melted down on the inside. Well, if your faith was greater, you wouldn't be having those problems. You heard anybody say that to you? You ever heard stories like that? Let me tell you, sometimes great faith is contrasted by great challenge. And I can't think of any greater than Abraham and Isaac. I mean, sacrifice the son who's the promised seed. What? I must not have heard you, God. Wouldn't that be our response? I think that would be my response. God, this somebody's speaking to me, but it ain't God. Why would God do that? No, He said, man, I trust you, God. Because my sheep know my voice. Develops over a lifetime. Faith grows over time as it is exercised. It's like it's a muscle. Faith, think about faith like a muscle. So let me challenge you. How many of you have had to walk in faith? How many of you have had to choose faith instead of frantically? You know what we do? I'm going to tell you what we do. This is so true. And I'm embarrassed to say that I'm in there with you, but I'm going to call the truth, right? What we do, this is how we walk in faith. Something happens, we try to fix it, we're going to do this, and we call somebody else, and we try to work everything out. And we come to the end of it, we go, okay, God, I guess I need to pray about it. I hope you'll come through for me now. Our faith, for some reason, it falls into the basket of last resort. Do you ever notice that? When something happens, I don't call and pray on it. Pray and talk to God first. I try to handle it myself first. And we only let God handle the things that don't go our way when we try to handle them. I wonder how many times we've missed the hand of God by trying to do it on our own. And maybe God wouldn't handle it the way we would. Let's go to simple things. Well, you need to be home right now. We got this all scheduled out today. Where are you? What are you doing? And we get all focused on what we have going on instead of realizing that our spouse or loved one or child or parent might be in the midst of a situation where God is at work in somebody's life. Listen, if God is not in charge of your to-do list, you better get rid of it. I'm in there with you. This is hitting me too. Which really stinks. So I know it stinks for you too. Faith grows over time as is exercised. It's time we start working out our faith. It's time we start working out. The impact of parental faith means walking in faith at home creates a testimony of faith, revealing the hand of God to the world, not just to your children. See, they were talking to their children, but who's being impacted by it today? We are. So your choice to walk in faith at home impacts the world. You go, well, I'm just doing this, and this is only right here, and whatever. But it impacts the world. It impacts other people. It's not just about you. See, you are the testimony for the love, the compassion, and the trustworthiness of God. You're the testimony. You are. You say, and then we go, well, God better get a better testimony. That's what he's doing this morning. I'm it. I need to wake up. You know, what we say to that, things when we think about things like this, wow, this is a heavy burden. That's a lie. Anybody, don't raise your hand, but anybody think that? That's a lie. Jesus said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why do we think that? Because we're so conditioned and we're so used to hearing and believing those things that seems right to us. Doesn't that seem right to us that it's a really heavy burden to carry the mantle for God? So what Jesus said. Who's right then? When in doubt, go with Jesus. It's easy. Well, I can't do that. Everybody's going to hate me. They hated him too. If they hate you, maybe you're on the right track. Well, I don't want that. I don't want people hating me. Oh, so we're either going to serve that or serve the Lord. Right? We have to realize that our faith will impact the faith of our children and others. You know, it was interesting. These grandparents were trying to teach their children a lesson about being thankful and talking to God. So they were trying to sow into them. And they sat down for the evening meal. And little Johnny makes his return in the story. Johnny says, "I'll pray, Papa." And the grandfather says, "Okay." And so they bow their heads, and little Johnny's over there. And the grandfather peeked. And he leans in, and he sees Johnny's mouth moving, but he's leaning in, trying to hear and make out some intelligible words. And Johnny finishes, "Amen," and looks up for that look of satisfaction from his grandparents. And before the grandfather could say anything, the grandmother jumped in and said, "Johnny, now we're going to do that again because nobody could hear anything you had to say." And Johnny's face went from this look of seeking acceptance to one of puzzlement. And he said, "But Mama, I wasn't talking to you." And so Johnny got it. He got it from them. I mean, he got it. And so often what we want to do is we want to things to go exactly the way we think. And how God works with our children and how God works with us is different than our parents. And so we have to find the blessing on the blessing is the journey. The blessing is the path, not something that we arrive at, other than a confidence and trust in God. When you arrive there, you're going to be on the journey, and that's the blessing. And so, remember this, grandkids are smarter and pick up more than you think. And all the grandparents said, they know, we know, they pick it all up. And so walk in faith and leave a legacy for them. Leave a legacy. They won't be able to get away from it. You say, "Well, they're not following it, they're not doing this," but they'll always know what's right. They'll always know what's right. Some of you carry burdens for your family, I would imagine. Some of you carry burdens for legacy or for decisions made long ago. I want you to know that's been covered and taken care of. You're free from that. And as you walk with Him and are honest with them, God can take something that the enemy meant for evil and turn it to good. We know His Word says that. And so don't walk in a defeatist mentality. Walk in the victory that you already have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes.